Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. He's fired up. He's feisty. This is a very contentious episode coming up. The sage is firing away, and it's draft time. Not everybody always agrees on philosophy and approach of the team. Sage has some great insight here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. Bill Curry Ford. They've got the tax match going on, up to $5,000. They'll match your tax return for a brand new vehicle purchase. Get to BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, Curry. 65 years in Tampa. Now they're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side, and the Giant has returned. The Giant is the futuristic dealership that's open now. The biggest, the most incredible, the most extraordinary, the most customer-friendly, maybe in the country. It really is a revolutionary place that they've reopened, reimagined, and it's there right now. Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, is also the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. He's got the Ira Kaufman podcast discount for you. He's got 15% off parts and labor on service for active military, which is pretty cool. 10% off for retired military. BillCurryFord.com. Check out their inventory, transparent pricing, and reach out to Sean directly. He'll help you. He wants to. No matter what that looks like, he's going to help you, guide you. And he loves talking football in the draft as well. So he's a kindred spirit. BillCurryFord.com. They're open. Get there today, Saturday. Get on out there. Our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, thank you to them as well. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. They have to be in your disaster plan. They have to be the number you call when something goes wrong in your home. Flood, mold, fire, storm damage, whatever it is, you call them first. Before you call your insurance company, they'll give you a free evaluation with the latest technology in your home to figure out what's going on and how to attack fixing it and getting the money from your insurance company to fix it so they don't rip you off. There's a lot of corruption in insurance. Call them first. Check out their website today, though. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Owner Josh Martin, he'll give you $500 back. If you need their services after a free evaluation, all you have to do is mention JoeBucksFan.com when you call, or Ira Kaufman, or The Sage, whatever you want to say, they'll get it. They're big Bucks fans. They service the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right. We have a great episode recorded for you. I'm going to let you jump right in here to Ira, and The Sage is fired up. Enjoy. All right, Sage, now it's time for the star, which is you, Ira. I hope you're doing well. I know you're on a little beach getaway at a top secret location like all the celebrities. They don't reveal which island they're going to. But Sage, did word travel to that island that the Bucs signed Randy Gregory to help their pass rush, which is a little suspect off the edge? We'll get into that. What do you think, Ira? How are you?
I'm good, Lee. I'm a little stunned that I've been here 4 days and haven't run into anybody that says, I love the podcast, love Joe Bucks, man. I'll be back tomorrow. So they got one more day to recognize me, Lee. You got to recognize the Sage. I don't care where you are. I'm going to Italy in the fall. I expect somebody at the Trevi Fountain to throw a coin in and say, my wish is I want to meet Lee DeKemper. You know, you never know, Lee. You never know. Now, Lee, on the Randy Gregory front, I'm not too excited. I'm not overly excited. I'm not knocking the organization. It's a no-risk move. He had a couple of decent years with the Cowboys. A couple. Didn't do much with the Niners last year. Played in the Super Bowl. Every little bit helps, Lee, but I don't think he's the answer necessarily. I think he could be a situational guy. Maybe play 15, 20 snaps. I think his best days are behind him, Lee. But I'm not going to knock the move, but to me, it's not going to preclude them from taking a pass rusher or two in the draft.
Well, this is a little bit complicated, and I've softened my stance after listening to him at his press conference. Now, I don't want to fall in the trap of he won the press conference. We all know.
Lee, Vernon Hargraves had a hell of a press conference too, Lee. Be careful. Be careful.
And Shiano, my very first thought when they signed this guy, and I did some research this morning on him, so I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but he had a very checkered past, very checkered. I mean, this guy was bad news. And now he seemed to have cleaned his act up the last few years, and that's good for him. You know, evidently he had an addiction problem and he's fighting it. The first thing I thought of was, you know, Jason Light, he's got every right to brag about those rookies he brought in. Good crop of young players. Really good crop. Good core crop. And he boasts about that, and he should. Why would you introduce this guy into the locker room with so many young players? What are you doing? It's not like that's like having the only option. You know, oh, by the way, people, I hate to hear this. Plug your ears for 10 seconds. Hassan Reddick for a third-round pick. Huh? And now, he explained himself at his press conference somewhat. And I did some research. Dan Pompey did a hell of a feature on him a couple of years ago for The Athletic. It seems like his personal life has turned a corner. He didn't grow up in a Norman Rockwell-like family. Let's put it that way. And he got hooked on drugs, or at least he became a drug user. And I'm not just talking about marijuana. And you know, and it seems like he's gotten over that. But he had a rough time. You know, I got to give the guy some credit. I got to be fair. He hasn't been suspended this decade. He was suspended four times in his first 4 years. Now, this decade, he's not been suspended by the NFL. So that's good. It looks like he's turned things around, but basically Joe Tryon Chulienta, basically what he is. And but my biggest concern, and I hope it's not a concern, because I hope it's past, but why would you introduce this guy into the locker room with so many young players? Now, right away, people jump to the lazy conclusion, oh, you know, everybody does marijuana. Oh, it's only rules. When you join the NFL, you know there are rules. Every person that wants to scream at me for bringing that up, my question to them is, when you go to work tomorrow, drink on the job. You want a beer. It's legal in 50 states. You're over 21. You should be able to drink a beer. Watch what happens if young Corker can't a big store. Watch what happens. So you tell me what the difference is. NFL has rules. You can't smoke pot. You don't like the rules? Change the rules. Go on strike. Go on a walkout. There's no 11th commandment. You have to play football if pot is that important to you. Or dropping shrooms or whatever. So that's why I see these people that scream at me, this knee-jerk, lazy reaction. Well, everybody does pot. It's a rule. And if that's the case, players ought to be able to smoke pot whenever they want to. Then I tell you, you should open up a can of Big Storm beer at work when you show up tomorrow. Because you want to drink a beer, and it's legal. See what happens.
Steve, to be fair, the Chiefs, and we know how successful they've been, they've signed some shaky characters. Some shady characters, Steve, over the years. And Andy Reid says, I'm okay with it. And Rashee Rice is the latest example. He looks like he's bound for a suspension this fall for walking away from an accident. So, you know, I understand Lee's point, Steve. But to me, Randy Gregory, the player, I don't think he's going to make a dent. I don't think he's going to make much of a difference. He was out there for a reason, you know, almost a full month after free agency started. He's still there for a reason, Steve. So they still need pass rush help, and this is not going to, in my mind, it's not going to affect that need.
It's a little bit of a strange signing on a couple of levels, Ira. I mean, Gregory's history. So he signs this gigantic contract with the Broncos before the 2022 season. I got to throw out there, Lee, at the end of the 22 season, he got into a fight and was suspended by the NFL. And they pulled the suspension after he appealed it, but he still got fined $50,000 for starting the fight. And it was really stupid. As a guy, you know, trying to break free of all this stuff, and he's making all this money in Denver, and he does this stupid stuff and had two sacks the whole season. And then halfway through last year, they trade him to the Niners, and he doesn't do much. You know, here he is. But what gets me, Ira, is they're paying him $3 million plus incentives. So that's not a rock bottom bare minimum contract. It's really not for a guy who's 31 years old and has never really done anything, which just to me tells me that other teams wanted Gregory. And so I'm a little bit uplifted by that. I don't know who those teams were, but at least it's something, because Randy Gregory screams, this is a guy you sign after the draft when you don't get the edge rusher you wanted in the first round. But instead, they sign him before the draft, which kind of makes it interesting.
Without stretching things, it is an indication and a tacit admission, and how can you not admit it, that you're woefully weak with outside pass rushers. And unless they're counting on Yaya, you know, to get 14, and that's a big, you know, that's a huge leap. I still want to know who's coming off the left edge, Lee. I don't have an answer. Yeah, who's Shaq Barrett coming off the left edge? I don't know who it is. All I hear about is some guys that are look good in practice or in training camp. In the words of Lee DeKemper, I want to see production. Again, picking 26th, Lee, unless they move up. You know, people are talking about Chop Robinson. A lot of scouts are divided on this guy. They're not going to get one of the premier edge rushers, Lee, at 26. Not at 26. So it's a bit of a tough situation for Jason Light right now. Not that Shaq Barrett was the answer, Lee. If Shaq Barrett came back, you and I would have been saying, I don't know if we can count on this guy based on the last couple of years. So it's not that Shaq Barrett isn't there anymore. It's that I don't see where they have a lot of options besides Diaby.
Basically, the Bucs planning for an edge rush as we speak on the first week of April. It's hope, Yaya Diaby, and a prayer, Joe Tryon. That's what it is right now, hope and a prayer. Yeah.
I think Todd Bowles, Steve, not a naive man. He knows defense like nobody's business. You know Todd Bowles is in Light's office three times a week when they're preparing for the draft, and he wants to know what's our plan for an edge rusher. I think Bowles has to be concerned, even though Steve, as masterful as he is with the pass rush, cobbling it together, and five guys have four sacks, and one guy's got 5.5. That's not what you want, Steve. That's not ideal. You want that guy with 12, and they don't have it. They don't have it.
No, I understand, Iron. I know a lot of folks are saying, oh, the Gregory thing is no risk. You know, what's the worst that'll happen? You just cut him, all that other stuff. It just feels a little strange right now. I mean, look, back in 2018, they claimed Carl Nassib off waivers, and he came in and gave him 6.5 sacks and made a bunch of starts and played well. And next year he was captain of the defense in 2019, but he was 25 years old and he didn't have all this baggage at all. And so just the Gregory thing is just strange. They must have really loved the film and obviously talked about it, but you know, hopefully he can do all right. I'm not down on Diaby in any way because I just think he fits the mold of what you want. You know, came in, was successful, had his rookie wall, learned his lessons, all that other stuff. He seems devoted. He finally got it. He probably should have had a shot earlier. And I think we'd all be talking about Diaby a little bit differently if he played sooner and ended up with 9.5 or 10 sacks instead of 7.5. We might have a little bit of different attitude, and that's not his fault that he didn't get in sooner. You know, we talked about this in the last podcast, Ira, the Joe Tryon Soyinka, the super nickelback, the part-time cornerback. He's doing things that nobody sees, you know, all this other stuff. It's a little wacky. And, you know, like Lee said, as far as Gregory bringing him into OTAs, and you know, I'm not saying he's a bad teammate, but it is a little, like, I agree with Lee saying that, bringing him in with a very young group to, you know, grind in OTAs, they obviously expect him to show up early and prove himself, and maybe it'll work out, but I don't know. It just feels a little suspect to me, Ira. You know, I don't know. They don't have a ton of money under the cap, and I don't take $3 million so lightly when that could go help get somebody else that they might need, or who knows who's going to break free or maybe be available for trade, draft night. I don't know, but it just seems a little early for this move.
I hope he surprises me. And I hope I'm wrong, Lee. But if I had to bet on it, I'd say he plays sparingly and not particularly productive.
Steve, it's interesting about the suspension in Denver with Gregory because I just double-checked on Pro Football Reference. They have a list of transactions. They do not have that listed at all. They have the four NFL suspensions last decade, but that's it. So maybe
he said it was rescinded, Lee. He said the suspension.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I guess since it was rescinded, they may have deleted that from the list of transactions. But that's where I was getting my info from. I had no idea about the fight in Denver.
I just remembered hearing about it, and I read another story about it. You know, it was just a clown move. I think it was right after the game. He went after somebody. Bad year for Denver, obviously, that year. I don't know. Hey, Ira, looking forward here, and first, we're not going to ignore that you're upset. You've been upset this week, Ira, sitting on the beach with your feet up, a little upset that fans have come after you for your desire to trade up for a tight end, trade up for a quarterback, if it's within reasonable range, we're going to get there with your rebuttal to some of these fans. And we did, you gave these takes in your column. You gave it in the podcast last time, but then you got smacked around. So we want to hear from you on that. But I wanted to mention this, Ira. Been digging more, and I thought this was just, it was just enough. And given that it's the Jets, we need to mention it. You know, everybody likes to say, oh, Todd Bowles failed because, you know, it was in New York because it was the Jets and everybody, they screw everything and everybody up there. And so in comes Bryce Hall as a free agent, you know, supposed to be a backup cornerback, fifth year guy after 4 years with the Jets. And, you know, digging a little deeper on the guy and listening to things and looking at film breakdowns and reading the crazy Jets fan blogs, they liked him. They liked him, and he started, and he was very good in the 2021 season. He actually was their number one cornerback after an injury, and the fans weren't ready to kill him in 2021. He even played well against the Bucs in that game, went back to watch a chunk of that on the fast forward there. And then the Bucs went out and signed a free agent corner in 2022, DJ Reed, who's a quality starter, and they signed Sauce Gardner in the draft, drafted him, you know, all pro first year, and Bryce Hall goes to the bench and never reappears. And here he is with the Bucs. So, like, there's no reason to think, he's already proven that he can start. The knock on him is that he doesn't play special teams at all, but he can play, and here they got this guy dirt cheap. I don't know, I'm sort of revisiting that signing. What do you think of that?
I could care less if the guy's a good player. I could care less, Lee, if he can shut down some receivers. I can care less if he can cover a punt. You know, let somebody else do it. Fine. I understand if you're a marginal player, you got to play special teams. But, you know, this guy's got a chance to play significant minutes, significant snaps for the Bucs. Steve Sala is also the guy to let Jordan Whitehead go back to the Bucs. I'm not sure what's going on with the Jets. Now, they had a good defense last year. I don't think it was as good as it could have been. Part of it was their offense was so terrible. They're on the field all the time. They had a good defense, no question about it. So the Bucs now have two of their defensive backs. I know Whitehead is, I think he's almost a shoe-in to start with Winfield at safety. I'd be shocked if he doesn't.
Yes, of course.
And then, they got this guy Hall. I'm with Steve. I think the Bucs might be able to take advantage of some lapses from the Jets, reshape that secondary. Lee, I'm not sold on Jamel Dean at this point. How can we be? Not only does he have durability questions, Lee, he's very inconsistent. He's inconsistent. There have been games where I turned to Lee late in the fourth quarter and said, man, Dean had a hell of a game. Well, Lee, that doesn't happen very often. Not very often. You know, McCollum is young and raw, got some skills that need to be developed. So I think there's a lot of opportunities, Steve, for Hall, and I certainly think Whitehead's going to play quite a bit.
For the very reasons you said, Ira, that's why I would not be shocked at all if the Bucs draft this Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, the corner. Would not shock me at all. And I've written this already, that this might be a perfect marriage. And what I mean by that is, Saban, I don't care, NFL or college, there may not be a better cornerback coach in football. And I say football in general. That's college, high school, NFL. There may not be a better cornerback coach in football than Nick Saban. And to be a starting cornerback for Nick Saban, you got to be smart. You have to be intelligent. You have to be versatile. Doesn't that sound like a Todd Bowles kind of secondary player? Smart,
sure does.
Versatile.
Lee, picking 26th and you let Kool-Aid fall to you, that would not be a bad takeaway from the opening round of the draft.
I don't think so, no.
Because to me, Steve, and, you know, that's going to be part of my answer about my column taking a beating from some Buck fans. Steve, if you stay at 26, you know, you take the best guy on the board regardless of position. I don't see why you got to get locked into a position. So I think Lee's right. I've seen Kool-Aid being projected to the Bucs. Lee, I've seen Chop Robinson. I haven't seen a running back because, God knows, Lee, this doesn't look like a very good year for running backs.
One or two good ones, yeah.
Yeah, one or two good ones. Wide receiver, maybe.
Sage, I'm getting hives over here. I'm starting to get hives over here.
You can get all the hives you want, but I'm ready to take on some Buck fans, Stevie.
All right, well, I'm going to let you take on some Bucks fans. But I got to say, you know what? Screw this. Every year is a good year for running backs because every year there are good ones that come out of the draft. Now, you may not know how to pick them. You may not know where to pick them, but fifth round, sixth round, seventh round, third round, every year there are good running backs. So I don't want to hear this isn't a special year for running backs. Figure out the right guy and draft him for a change. So that's what I'm going to say that right there.
Steve, I didn't say they shouldn't draft one, but to take one in the first round is probably not value. That's all I'm saying. Not
that
value.
Guy from Florida State, maybe. Trey Benson, maybe. He's a well-rounded running back, and he's damn good. That might be one guy.
And I'm starting to get really sick of this phrase, value. Just pick the right guy. No, I hate the applause, or the boos, right? Oh, they reached. They took this guy at 22. So are we supposed to, like, cheer that they picked him at 27 and he's good, but at 22 he's bad? Just pick the right guy who can play. It drives me insane, Ira.
Bravo, Steve. It drives me nuts. Oh, you reached for a guy. Well, if he pans out, that's not a reach. That's a hit.
Hey, Stevie, do you think in terms of running back and what they need, what they're looking for, you think they're looking for more of a breakaway guy, or you think they're looking for a guy that can convert on third and one?
I think that they need to find the guy who comes out of college, it happens all the time, and can average 4.2 yards a carry, no big deal. You know, these guys are everywhere, and they haven't been able to do it. And that's what they
You're
need to find.
You're not wrong, Steve. You're not wrong. I mean, look at the guy from the Rams. Steve, the guy had a fantastic year. He wasn't a first-round pick. Fantastic season.
You know, I'm still almost, I'm not bitter is the right word, but I'm still a little annoyed that they didn't go after Zach Moss from the Colts in free agency. It just a guy proved that he was an all-around player and worth the money. I don't know. But Sage, the draft, you know, fans were going a little wild on you, and I will let you unload now and set the table here on that. But I got to say, to finish up on the Bryce Hall thing, 16 passes defensed in 2021 as a starter. Jets fans liked him. The Jets organization doesn't know what they're doing. He was a second-year player playing the lead cornerback spot, and then he was on the bench, and now he's on the Bucs. He's like a legitimate starter. I think this may be the steal of the situation here. He may not be a starter on the Bucs, but he's going to be a legitimate player when he does come in. And you know, they've had issues with cornerback depth in the past, which is why a lot of fans are still afraid of Zion McCollum. But all right, go ahead, Ira. Why are you upset with Bucs Nation?
Well, first of all, 16 pass breakups, Steve, that's a good number. You're right. That's a good number. And, you know, they got Sauce Gardner. Okay, he's not as good as Sauce Gardner. I mean, you know, that guy might be the best cover guy in football, but you can't have too many cornerbacks, Lee. Now, as for Buck Nation, Lee, let me say this. And as happens too many times, Lee, too many times because it's happened with some of your stories.
Oh, it always does.
Things get misinterpreted. Things get misinterpreted. For example, Lee, I never said trade up for Mike Penix. I never said that. For Mike Penix, I said if he's there at 26, I think you should consider taking him. That's what I said. I didn't say move up to 17 and take Mike Penix. That's number one. Number two, I'm sticking to my Brock Bowers. I'm sticking to it. And I don't care how many people tell me I'm nuts. I don't think he's going to be there at 18, 19, 20. I don't think he will be. But, Lee, crazy things happen on draft day. They do. And most people have him going to the Jets at number 10. Right away, that tells you he's a top 10 talent, which he is. Some people think he's top 5. My point is, Lee, if the Bucs walk away from the first round, and it might cost them one of those third-round picks, to move up 5 spots. Yeah, okay. Lee, if they walk away from the first round and instead of taking a guy at 26, they get Brock Bowers and they use one of their additional third-round picks, that's a home run, Lee. That's a home run. And I don't want to hear any of these yahoos saying they got too many needs. Yeah, they're always going to have too many needs. But if you take the best player that's freaking on the board by far at number 18 and you go up and get him, and I don't care if you want to call him a a tight end in name only. I don't care what you want to call him. The guy's a great football player, and he's going to have a great NFL career. You want to use him in the slot? You want to call him a tight end? I don't care what you call him. Lee, the guy's yards after catch is phenomenal
for
his size. Phenomenal. And the Bucs don't have that. They don't have it. They don't have Antonio Brown anymore that can catch that little slant and take it. Godwin's not going to do that. Evans is not very good at yak. He's never has been. He's a hell of a player, but he's not very good at that. We don't know about Trey Palmer. Lee, I'm not backing down. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't think the scenario is going to be there. But, Lee, if the guy's there at 20, go get him. Go get him and walk away with Brock Bowers, and now you're going to get an A from everybody, including Sean Sullivan, who's not an easy grader. So, Lee, I'm not backing out down from this. Oh, it's not a need. You need a pass rusher. You need a left guard. Lee, you're going to take a left guard? Or you're going to take a guy that's going to be a Pro Bowl player? Catching balls with Evans and Godwin, that's a hell of a trio, Lee. And they can throw balls.
Ira, you're sounding like me. You know,
I am. I think he's one of the surest things in this draft, Lee.
Wow. Well, here's the added benefit of Bowers. Guy can block.
Yeah, he can.
And, you know, I know there's a loud crowd out there that they can't wait to get Robert Haynes out of the Tampa zip code. But you watch that running game get better blocking when you get a tight end blocking. They haven't had that since Gronk. Now, since I brought this up, and obviously we don't script these. We're not like ESPN. We don't script our podcasts, much less presidential interviews. We don't script them. And I've got to ask you, you and I had a discussion about Hainsey in the parking lot of One Buck. Can I use some of the information, or do you want to share some of the information you told me? I'll set you up, but if you don't want to, that's fine, because, you know, we were just sort of comparing notes.
I don't think I mind you sharing anything, Lee.
You know, Ira and I were, we were leaving in One Buck the other day. It was, I can't remember what press conference it was. It wasn't me.
It might have been Lavonte David.
Lavonte David. And we got to talking about Hainsey. Ira and I, Steve, we were sort of comparing notes and experience. And you know, I told Ira, I said, I don't hear a peep from anybody at One Buck if they want to get rid of Hainsey. Usually, you know, if some guy's really playing lousy, or they think he's playing lousy and they're looking to replace him, you hear something. You hear a whisper. But if anything, I get pushback from Bucks people. What are you talking about? You know, oh, he could do this better or whatever. And I remember talking to White, and, you know, Ira's podcast. I asked Light point blank, is it Hainsey or is it Rashad White? And he didn't mention Hainsey, but he sure mentioned White. And Ira, I think you had told me that you're not hearing any kind of anti-Hainsey rhetoric from your sources.
Well, I will say this in honor of our fearless leader, Steve Isbitz. Steve, you like these little nuggets that I drop on occasion, so I might as well do another one. Somebody in the building was absolutely aghast after the Carolina game at the end of the season, the 9-0 game, and said that Derek Brown almost single-handedly shut down the Buck offense that day because none of the interior guys could handle him. Now, Derek Brown's a good player. He was a first-round pick, I do believe, and he's lived up to that. He's one of the better defensive tackles, but he manhandled the Bucks that day, and Hainsey was a prime culprit. And this is from people inside the building. So, Lee, I got to give you credit because you don't bend with the wind. There's a lot of Hainsey hate out there. But Lee, you're being very cautious with this. You think the guy might be able to hold on to his job and might develop it into an okay center. So I got to give you credit. You're hanging in there with Hainsey a little bit.
Well, if I was getting any kind of feedback that they're looking to, you know, make a move, I would say it. You know, I'm not making this up. No, I'm not saying that Hainsey is Ryan Jensen. Please don't get me wrong. And I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but you know, he talked to Steve and I at Bucks training camp. You know how, you know, national ex-players, national NFL analysts or ex-players. They bounce around from training camp to training camp. And this guy, this gentleman was talking to Steve and I, and he was very down on Haynes. He was very down. Now, consequently, at one point, Pat Kerwin was very high on Haynes. But I don't get any feedbacks from people that they want to get rid of him. Like, but I've seen enough blocks that, for whatever reason, Rashad White did not, you know, that Haynes ain't opened up. I've seen enough holes. I'm not saying it happens 8-9 times a game, but I've seen enough of holes that Haynes opened up that Rashad White, for whatever reason, didn't go through those holes. Just would run right into traffic. And one time you saw that, you looked at me and the look on your face like, you got to be kidding me. Clearly, Haynes has room to grow.
When I gave you that look in the press box, did I put down my Cuban sandwich before I gave you the look?
Yeah, you did. You put down everything. Hey, Steve, you know...
Hey, Sage, wait a minute. I got more hives over here. Hold on a minute, Sage. Look, Haynes already is an okay center, right? They've been okay. He's not terrible, and nobody runs around saying this guy shouldn't be in the NFL and shouldn't start. Some people do, but he's not the worst player in the world out there. The results just don't lay that out. But the fans want an upgrade, and I think the biggest indicator is what Dave Canales said on your podcast, Ira. He was very, very, very candid. He said against the Falcons in that game late in the season, Todd Bowles came into the locker room at halftime and said, man, this is one of the few games that we've had an edge on the offensive line. Let's run the ball. Let's, you know, we can do this and you know, beat them on the ground, which is really what they did in the second half. And he was very clear a couple days before Bowles that they wanted to get bigger and stronger on the O-line. And Canales laid it out saying, hey, yeah, there were very few games that we own the line of scrimmage on offense. So we know where the weaknesses lie, Ira, but I have heard those whispers that Ben Bredesen, the guy from the Giants, they expect him to compete with Haynes for the starting job. They absolutely do. They'll see what he looks like. No one's going to go crazy now because they got to see what he looks like when he gets there. But, you know, he's in the last year of his contract. I don't think anyone's going to renew Robert Haynes on a multi-year deal because they do want to get better. So they're kind of stuck paying in the $3 million they got this year, and he's a good for that price. But, yeah, I think they would love to replace him because he's at the end of his contract, which is a different situation than last year.
You know, to be fair to Haynes, part of the backlash against Haynes is that he's not Ryan Jensen in temperament. At least it doesn't appear to be that tone setter, you know, that rough, tough, ornery guy that Jensen, you know, became a fan favorite for his first year, which admittedly, Jensen said he didn't think he played particularly well, but he certainly made up for it in future years. Lee, the center, besides having to snap the ball and being the anchor, that is the position to be a tone setter. You know, the Mike Websters of the world.
DeMarnay Dawson?
DeMarnay Dawson. The Chiefs have a good one, good young one, in Creed Humphrey.
Yep.
Yeah, he sets a tone. So I think Haynes's being compared in that degree. Steve, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, Lee, and I think you would agree with me, premium pick to me is first round through third round. Lee, I don't think there's one way in the world that the Bucs don't use a premium pick on an interior offensive lineman. I don't think there's any chance that won't happen.
I totally agree. First through third, one of the first 2 days of the draft, there will be a guard or center draft.
Yes. Yes.
I agree with that.
Steve, Steve, you don't have any problem with that, right, Steve?
I'm going to say it doesn't happen, Ira.
Whoa. Well, wait a minute, Steve. They got an open competition at left guard. It's wide open. Who's fighting over there?
They've got the new guy, Bredesen. They've got the guy from the Eagles who's been a starter, Opeta. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And I think there's always going to be on an offensive line a position where you don't have a premium pick, where you're filling in with a stopgap guy that's almost been the history in some ways of the Buccaneers line, except for in the Super Bowl year. And, you know, they still used, you know, they were banking on Kappa taking a step and all that. So I don't know. I just don't necessarily see it. I think that they might like to look at what they have and then replace with a free agent next year and go that route next year as far as a free agent and a draft pick next year. That's just my opinion, Ira. I think they're going to look at some other positions and, you know, surprise some people. I really think they're going to look at receiver. I would be very confident they take a tight end in the top three rounds. And I think they're going edge rusher first pick. So I'm just going to say, nope, no offensive lineman, maybe later, maybe a fourth round or fifth round gem, but not top three.
Lee, am I out of bounds to suggest that the jury might still be out on Cody Mauch, Lee, also at right guard? I mean, he's up and down, Lee. He's up and down.
Yeah, but you got to remember, he was a rookie. And you also remember Alex Gatlin struggled as a rookie. He has shown enough, at least to me, that you don't give up on him yet. I think he hit the rookie wall hard last year. And I remember it was Evan Klosky of Channel 10. And he put up a bunch of All-22 on Twitter. And the first half of games late in the season, specifically the playoff games, Philadelphia and Detroit, in the first half, Cody Mauch was mowing people down. It looked just like his college team. The exact same stuff, where he was dragging people 5-10 yards down the field. He was running them over. He was playing to the end of the whistle. He looked just like his college tape. Then Klosky put up Cody Mauch's second half tape. Yeesh. Ugly. Way ugly. Oh. Rosie O'Donnell kind of ugly.
He was a rookie, like you said.
Yeah, so I'm not near to the point of giving up on him. Does he need to improve? Sure does. I think a full offseason in an NFL weight room will do him well. You know, I'm sure the Bucks want to see more from him, but I think he's shown enough that you don't even want to remotely give up on the guy yet.
Right. I'm just trying to add competition, Lee.
Guard, I mean, the lights come on set. They need more bodies there. And to me, that was that was telegraphing that they're going to get. I know they added some ham and eggers. I get it. But how'd that work last year, Siler? How'd that work out?
Steve, would you throw up on draft night if the Bucks take a quarterback at 26?
I would, yeah. I would. I don't believe in it at all, the way that the team is constructed. If you get some sort of miracle, but look, everybody's got it at Penix, and I don't like it. I don't think it helps them win a Super Bowl within a reasonable time frame of what they can do here. I think the Glazers like the idea of, hey, you know what? The free agent quarterback has done pretty well for us here, and it's a nice fit with Todd Bowles, who probably isn't the guy we want with a rookie quarterback. And remember, Lee's the same guy who was screaming last year, Todd Bowles, not who you pair with a rookie quarterback. I haven't let go of that, Lee. I have not at all. I don't think Bowles would know how to do it right. I really don't. I think Liam Cohen, if he does well, he's 1 year and done. With his resume, so I think it's a horrible idea.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying you draft the guy and you play him.
I know. I don't want to sit him. I want to win a Super Bowl with some beast off the edge who can develop here quickly and get the job done.
I don't think this is a Super Bowl roster. I'm sorry, Steve. I do not.
All right. Well, then you should call Jason Light and say, Jason, I have some news for you. And hey, Ira, listen, I got to tell everybody, the Best in Class podcast, that is Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He's done his quarterbacks breakdowns. He's done his tight ends, his receivers. I can't wait for the next one. I know it's coming really soon. You can find Sean, though, when he's not doing his day job as draft guru. He's working as the general manager, the big boss at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Tremendous deals. They're doubling your tax refund now up to $5,000 on a new vehicle. They've got all kinds of other promotions with new vehicles. Get to BillCurryFord.com. I can't wait to hear what Sean has to say about the edge rushers. But no, seriously, Sage, in all seriousness, it's nice to have a good quarterback on the bench and somebody you're sort of developing, but I don't really know or believe that they can do that. And I don't like Penix's age for that. I really don't.
All right. We're going to do our annual podcast with Mr. Sullivan, Steve?
Well, it would be quite a travesty if we didn't do such a thing. We could scream and yell and have some fun. I hope so.
Okay.
All right, Sage. So listen, Ira, the fans, are you upset by them, Ira, or you just got a little rankled there?
Well,
this thing about the Bucks have too many needs, Lee, I'm more of a guy like, take the best player. Take the best player. I don't think you can go wrong with that. Over a period of time, I think that's the take the best guy that's on your board. Unless you're dying for a quarterback, and they're not. They have their quarterback. So, like, you know, they're not sitting three and they need a quarterback, and you take a quarterback. It's not like that. So, Lee, when the fans say they don't need a tight end, well, I think Bowers is special, Lee. And I don't think you bypass special players.
Yeah, and like, and we talked about this before we recorded. This is not a knock on Cade Otton at all. Otton looks like he's turned the corner, but, I mean, if this Bowers is as special as some people think, oh, you know, how could you pass him up if you really think he's going to be that guy, you know?
They did had to trade up a little bit, right? Like, let's say he fell like O.J. Howard did, as an example. If they had to trade up for him, it's an all-in, scary analogy. It's an all-in kind of move, you know? And I like the all-in move because I believe the roster is there. But, Ira, I think if you don't think the roster is close enough, I don't know, maybe you don't want to cough up a third and a fourth-round pick to move up. But I know you think he's a generational kind of player.
I do, and that's another point, Steve. I'm glad you mentioned it because that also came up in the comments, which I think is nuts. Well, you know, look what happened with O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard was not considered nearly the prospect Bowers was. I'm sorry. He's not. Not in terms of production. He doesn't have the production of Bowers. Bowers has production. He led the team in receiving all 3 years from the tight end position. He won the Mackey Award 2 years in a row. Nobody else has ever done that. The guy averages 15 yards a catch. Howard was a physical specimen, Lee. There's a difference. This guy is productive. So I don't want to hear about any O.J. Howard comparisons.
Well, here's just an example of how that argument, O.J. Howard, doesn't wash. The Bucs had a Pro Bowl quality tight end already on the roster. Cam Brate led the NFL in tight end touchdown catches. So that was an absolute luxury. That was an absolute luxury pick, picking O.J. Howard. And it blew up in their face. And nobody was screaming for Dalvin Cook over O.J. Howard more than me, with the possible exception of Sean Sullivan. And look how all that turned out. When people start saying, oh, that's O.J. Howard, no. O.J. Howard was a complete and total luxury pick because Cam Brate was, again, he was Pro Bowl level tight end. He led the NFL in touchdown catches. And what, 4 years later, I remember him catching passes in the Super Bowl where O.J. Howard was nursing his Achilles.
All right, Sage, look, Ira, when you were talking about physique and production, I couldn't help but think of you at the beach. Do you have a story for us? Anything interesting going on out there before I hit you with this last big Bucks question I got?
Well, the surf's been pretty rough, Lee. I thought about taking out a jet ski. Can you picture me on a jet ski, Lee?
That'd be interesting.
But the surf was a little rough, a little bit of an undertow, Lee. Rip current. You know, speaking of rip currents, I got a quick story, gentlemen. On my honeymoon, true story.
Hey, Ira, I got. Wait, Ira. For the longtime listeners, we still have a question because this is about the third time Ira's told this story, but it's so good, we got to hear it again. Go ahead.
1981, November. We fly out to Los Angeles that night from Long Island and catch a plane the next morning to Hawaii. We're bouncing around some of the islands. I think we went to four different Hawaiian islands. And it might have been on Maui. Lee, my wife's, under the umbrella. And I said, hey, I'm going out, one more snorkeling venture. And I go out. And Lee, about an hour goes by. And I'm not back yet. This is my wife's honeymoon, Lee. She's standing up. She's looking at the ocean. She can't find me, Lee. She's looking for the snorkel. I'm nowhere to be found, Lee. On her honeymoon. Panic setting in. What the hell did I marry? Who is this nut? And finally, I wash up about a half a mile down the beach. The rip current. I couldn't fight it coming back in. And they tell you to, you got to swim parallel.
Yes.
Until you get away from it. And I'm a good swimmer. And so I did that.
after trying like hell. I couldn't make any headway, Lee. I couldn't make any headway coming straight in. And so I end up, you know, half a mile down. She doesn't see me. And now I get onto the beach, and I got the snorkel in my hands, and I'm exhausted. And finally she sees me, and she don't know whether to throw her arms around me or give me a slap, Lee. I believe the slap won the day. That's my ocean story besides getting my chair stolen in Florida.
Just to finish out the story, Ira, just to finish out the story, about an hour later, you went inside, you had a pastrami sandwich, all was good.
it was our honeymoon, Lee, so, you know, I'm looking for some conjugal activity. Once that snorkel thing happened, it was over. It was Katie bar the door, Lee. Katie bar the door.
All right, Ira, look, Jason Light jumped on local radio, and he said very forcefully.
Is there a radio show that Jason Light has turned down in the last 3 weeks?
He's feeling it. He is really feeling it. Sage, he said the Bucks could line up right now. They don't have to do anything reaching as far as forcing themselves to do anything in the draft. They're ready to line up and play. And, quote, I think we'd be better than what we were last year already. Now, this team just walked off the field winning, what, a 6 out of 8, 7 out of 9, including the playoffs. And Jason Light is putting it out there that they're better already right now. Your thoughts on that, your thoughts on his attitude, and, hey, if that's basically Light saying, you know, we're better than a 10-win team right now.
Well, Lee, that goes to that feeling of disrespect. I don't agree necessarily, Lee. And, you know, one thing that drives me crazy, Lee, and you see it all the time, Lee, is like somebody doesn't know what to say about some prospect, you know, that you've drafted a couple of years, like, you know, going into the third year. And, Lee, you hear this line. Well, he's got another year of experience. He's got to be a lot better next year. Lee, that usually doesn't happen. It happens on occasion. But you can't bank on it, Lee.
Exactly.
In the words of DeKemper, give me the production. And I'm with Lee on that. So I don't agree that right now they're a 10 or 11 win team necessarily, Lee. I don't agree with that.
Your rationale is exactly why I'm sort of on the bandwagon. But I'm not driving the bandwagon yet. That's Yaya. I love the guy to death. I think he's going to, you know, I screamed bloody murder last year that he wasn't starting. He should have been starting. I thought Bowles dragged his derriere in naming him a starter. But that's just 1 year. He had 7.5. By the way, I guess he was the last Bucks rookie to have 7.5 sacks. And I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying, the last guy to have 7.5 sacks as a rookie, as an edge rusher, Adrian Claiborne. How'd that work out? I'm not saying Yaya's another Adrian Claiborne, but just because you had 7.5 sacks, that does not guarantee you're going to be in a Pro Bowl the next year. I'm hopeful. I don't like to use that word, but I'm hopeful. And I'm a big fan of his. I like the kid. He's shown me some signs. But until you've done it, you haven't done it.
Yeah. And, Steve, you know, without trying to predict too much, it appears Atlanta will be better than they were. It appears. We don't know. I didn't say they're going to win 11 games, but I think they'll be better than they were last year. They got some nice weapons, two good backs, some guys who can catch the ball. They've had a good offseason. Much depends on Cousins. They lost their defensive coordinator, Lee. I thought the guy did a very good job last year with the Falcon defense, and he's gone. So I think they might take a step back on defense. Calais Campbell, I don't know, is he playing this year, Lee? Is he not playing? Calais Campbell, I don't know what he's doing.
Steve's been pining for him for years. Maybe he'll...
I think he's about done. He's a great teammate. There's no question about that. But, Steve, that's a factor, too, is, you know, is the division going to be any better? Well, Carolina's still bad. New Orleans, to me, is average. But Atlanta could be better, Steve. They could be better.
Well, Sage, I don't know. I'm very upset with this podcast. I don't know what to do. I'm just
We don't always agree with you, Stevie.
You're telling me production. You don't believe the Bucks won 6 out of 8 to close the season. What more production do you want than that? I don't understand.
Wait a minute.
You're telling me they're not.
Lee, do I have to remind our comrade how the Bucks played against the Saints and against the Panthers down the stretch? Not very impressive.
Not very impressive, you're right, but 6 out of 8 is 6 out of 8, Ira. And the division.
All right, I understand that.
You know,
and they won the division. You know, it's called getting the job done. And they got the job done and damn near got to the NFC title.
But so I don't know. That upsets me a little bit. I'll say this about Adrian Claiborne. He played like every snap in his rookie year. Yeah, had about 500 on defense. Claiborne was probably around 900. They didn't take him off the field. So I'm going to jump in Yaya's bandwagon here and think that he's just a better talent overall. And they'll know how to use him better as well. But I guess I'm a believer. You're not a full believer yet, Ira. It's okay.
You're a little ornery on this podcast, Stevie. You know, take a big storm beer and relax, baby.
It's April. I got to get ornery. All right, Sage, you have a final goodbye. Lee, you have anything to tell the good people of Tampa Bay and Guam?
No, I probably ticked him off enough as it is. So.
Brock Bowers, that's my final word. Brock Bowers.
That's two words, Ira.